Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
We're starting a new series, as you see. The struggle is real. And we probably have seen this term or mentioned this term or seen it on social media before. It's not a new term. Sometimes when we hear the struggle is real, I think I'm getting some feedback up here a little bit. Hearing myself talk. You ever hear yourself talk? You're not used to it. You're like, whoa, I do not want to listen to myself, you know, but the struggle is real. And sometimes when we see that, though, it's usually some kind of like a complaining with some truth added to it. Here's a couple examples. All right, here's three examples. Some of them are kind of funny. Some of them are kind of lame. Anyway, the struggle is real, you know, trying to get trying to get his hamburger, his donut. And you can humor me and laugh if you want. If not, that's okay. The next one is when dad takes a nap versus when mom takes a nap. So I've been told, but I was sleeping and didn't get interrupted, so I don't know. There's some truth to that. This one's very, very, very true. If you've been in our drive-in services, when we were having the drive-in, or when we weren't having kids church, watching church at home with children. If you don't have children, you're wondering, that can't be true. It is true, all right? It is true. Anyone who wants to raise your hand and say, yes, preacher, that is true. I see everyone testifying around the room. Yes, yes. But then we get to the term itself, the struggle is real. And as we know right now, as we've been in this, seems like prolonged, the longest year ever, and we're only halfway through, don't worry. I read where someone said maybe 2020 is kind of like a mullet. The first part's been all business. Maybe the second part will be a party. I hope they are right. But there's some struggling going on, and it's real. And we're struggling. People are struggling. They're struggling with being overwhelmed with fear, being overwhelmed with stress, depression, issues in relationships and marriages. It is real. Life and stress, they go hand in hand. And we will experience and are experiencing stress in our lives. There's no way of getting around it. And I believe that the degree to which we effectively manage and cope with the stress in our lives will determine the degree in which we are healthy. Now, short term, stress isn't necessarily always a bad thing. In the short term, maybe you're in college or you're in school and you have a paper due and you're a procrastinator and you kind of feed off that stress a little bit. You're like, it just wakens everything and your brain's firing all cylinders and you're, boom, man, you write it right out. Maybe it's a job, something at your work that's a project that is due that you need to get done that's time sensitive. Maybe you have an important meeting. Maybe you're in a game, right? In a game, whether it's for school or you're watching a game. Anyone ever get stressed out watching a game? Yeah. We all do some point, especially the more you care about a team, you Clemson fans, Gamecock fans, you know, it gets a little intense. I've heard about how intense it is in some of your homes for you Gamecock fans. I've heard the stories. And it's kind of awesome in some ways. And some of it's ladies, believe it or not. I won't mention anyone because I don't want to embarrass anybody over there, but that I know of. But they're good people. I'm just kidding around. But stress can be a good thing. The issue where stress comes into play, though, is when stress is prolonged. And that pressure is upon us, that force, that strain, that influence. And you see, stress is what you feel when you have to handle more than what you're used to. When you are stressed, your body responds as though it is in danger. It makes hormones that speed up your heart and make you breathe faster and give you a burst of energy. And as you continue living a life that is stressed, all those hormones, all those emotions, it seems like you're just always tense. Something's not right. You need rest. I want you to know this morning, there is rest for the stressed. Studies have found that the following most stressful situations in life are death of a spouse or a loved one, going through a divorce or separation, a jail term, a personal injury, an illness, which we're all doing and are concerned about, illnesses, marriage issues, problems at work, pregnancy, financial problems. And what has happened, what I believe has happened during this pandemic is some of the things maybe we kind of ignored, maybe in our marriages or relationships, things that we ignored that kind of stressed us out, but we thought, you know what, I can handle this. Fears that we once had that were kind of in the back burner of our minds are now in the forefront, and they have been greatly magnified. And there's an area that I'm concerned about with our world today is the issue of mental health. I want to talk more about that, not today as much, but as we get into this series, more about mental health. And that I think we're going to see a rise in that because of all that's been going on. Now, I realize there are some things that just as if you were to hurt your elbow or hurt something on your body that needs medication, sometimes our brain needs medication. I'm not minimizing that at all. But I also believe that our body and our soul and the spiritual, they are connected. And that when spiritually, when our foundation is not Jesus Christ, when we do not run to the Lord and He is not our foundation, we go to try to find it in other things. We try to find it in other things. And when we are spiritually not right, it affects our soul. And when it affects our soul, it affects us physically. And things can greatly get jacked up in our lives. And we're not sure when we're uncertain how to handle the stress that's in our lives. Some will turn to food and they'll find their comfort in food. You can easily overeat. Sometimes what we eat makes us feel, man, just horrible at times. Others turn to substance abuse of some sort. Some will turn to alcohol. Some will burn the midnight oil and just stay on the internet forever and ever and ever and staying up too late and not getting the adequate sleep in which they need. Maybe you have a hard time sleeping. Maybe it's caused from the stress or the situation in which you find yourself in. Here's some practical tips, and I'm going to get into what God's Word says. Some practical tips for us to handle stress with our body, our soul, and our spirit. Physically, get enough rest. Get enough rest and exercise. Say, preacher, if I wanted to hear from my doctor, I'd go to my doctor. All right, just hear me out. You need exercise. It releases you know, some of that stress that's in your life. When we exercise, it helps get rid of that stress. I mean, it helps us control. It helps us deal with some of the difficulties in this life. Being unhealthy or out of balance in the area when it comes to our body, when it comes to getting enough rest and having a healthy diet makes a world of difference. Listen, there's something special about life. And I know the enemy loves to whisper into our minds that, you know what, you could end it and you could be with Jesus right now. And Satan always takes a half-truth and turns it into a full lie. He always wants to replace God's truth with his lie. And as we've seen, what do we do in that occasion? We replace that lie with God's truth. You see, when Jesus was raising Lazarus, the Bible says that he wept. Why did he weep? One, I think many have different opinions about why he wept. One, I think because he knew what Lazarus was coming from. Also, I think he was personally grieving himself and grieving with those who were grieving. But as well, I think part of it was that he knew how precious life was. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he's going to be crucified and beaten, he was concerned about that. Yes, God, take this bitter cup from me. He knew what lied ahead. He knew that his life in that regard, the way it was going to end. He would resurrect, he knew. He knew there's something precious about life in which God's given us. And yes, as a Christian, I know that God's given me eternal life. And I know I don't fear death. I don't fear all what's going to happen. But I know that there's something special about what he's given us. Never forget that. The enemy wants you to think this is just not that special. But it is. It's special. It's special to us. Take care of your body. Something that really hasn't been talked about much, but some during this time, it should raise our attention about taking care of our bodies and our immune system. We should. We need to educate ourselves about what we should be eating, what supplements we should be taking, and taking a better care of what God's given us. Then there's our soul. How do you take care of your soul? You need to take time. Maybe it's taking time to listen to your favorite music, taking a walk, fishing, boating. Maybe there's someone that something taking time to meditate on a favorite Bible verse and just breaking it down and holding that area in which you struggle. Maybe it's journaling for some of you. Maybe for some of you, you just need to slow down. There's a time in which should get our attention about slowing down and remembering who God is and how we're not in control and He is in control of us now. Maybe during this time, you need to find someone to serve. You see, when you serve someone else, it gets your attention off of yourself. Maybe right now you're so focused on yourself and all that you're going through, you're forgetting about what everyone else is going through around you. Maybe it's time to serve somebody. Maybe it's time to forgive somebody. Are you taking the time to pray? It'll do good for your soul. Then there's the spiritual. And much of the soul and spiritual are very connected. You see, as we are born with a body and we were born with a soul. Your soul lives in this shell of a body. But when we come to know Jesus Christ and we are born again, the Spirit is quickened. The Spirit of God is quickened. He indwells in you. And so as a Christian, we are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. Before we came to know Christ, we were a body and we were a soul. The spirit part, spiritual part, was actually dead. What about the spiritual? You see, God designed you and me in a way that our spirit, mind, and body would react together in a marvelous way when we feel tense and anxious and heavy and set our mind and our heart on Jesus. God knew that Jesus was the antidote for stress. Not drugs, not food, not alcohol, not spending too much time on the internet. That's why he inspired Matthew to capture this Bible verse, this passage I want to show you. It's a short one, but it has a lot of wonderful truths in it. It says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I want you to know here this morning, Jesus is our remedy. He is our remedy, and we need to come to him. Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. In Jewish culture, each rabbi had their yoke of teaching. His yoke was his instructions, his content, his message. And many rabbis put yokes of teaching on people and their followers that were impossible. They were very, very legalistic. These yokes pushed people away from God and missed out on some of the grace that God had for them. These yokes burned people out. They turned people off. And Jesus stepped into the scene and said to the crowd one day, "Come to me. Come to me." Notice, he didn't say, "Come to church," though that's part of what we should do as believers, not minimizing that. But he said, "I want you to come to me." You see, Christianity begins with meeting Christ personally. It really does. Not yokes that burn people out and turn people off. If there's been a time in church, maybe you've been turned off by someone who's religious. It happens eventually sometimes to us all. But when we keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus, we realize he's the one we need to come to. I want you to know that just because one someone comes to church doesn't make them a Christian. Just because your parents or your grandparents are a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. It's kind of going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Or walking into a garage doesn't make you a car. So gathering information about Jesus does not make you a Christian. Joining a group does not make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. You become a Christian through the moment of that time of choice to answer the invitation and to turn from your sins and to come to Him. The Bible says that's how one becomes born again. Have you been born again? If you're going to find rest from the stress, the first thing you need to do is be born again. Because in this life, you will have trouble. You will struggle. You will have those times. And you may wonder at times, will I ever get ahead? Don't worry about that. Come to Jesus. His invitation is for all. You say, but I need to clean some things up. You don't know. I'm not worthy of being of Jesus. I don't feel worthy of following Him. Maybe you're thinking, and you walked in here this morning, and you're like, you know what? And maybe you said this before. I've heard many people say, if I walk in the church, the ceiling's going to fall on my head. Well, so far it hasn't fallen. And you can come to Him. Stop trying to clean yourself up. And Jesus will do that part. He will clean you. He will restore you. He'll make you new. The question is, what will you do with the invitation in which He's given? As He says here this morning in His Word, come to Me. Then He says, notice these three commands. There's three commands here that Jesus gives in this passage. Go ahead and go back over to Matthew 11. Just keep it there for a little bit. So He first says, come to Me, right? The second one is, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Really, the second one is just take My yoke upon you. What does this mean exactly? Jesus said His yoke is easy. His teaching was in stark contrast to the religious rabbis of that day. He was not offering a complicated, long set of rules and rituals and regulations. This is what He was offering. He was offering grace. He was offering a simple relationship with God. In New Testament times, the phrase to take the yoke of was used by rabbis to refer to becoming a submitted follower of that rabbi, of that teacher. There's also a picture of an oxen. It kind of gives the idea of Jesus' day, much a farming community. What they would do is, as they would take a yoke, which was a wooden beam, they would place it on the oxen to help link them together. So you'd have two oxen, cows, right, linked together, and they would pull and they would plow. When yoked together, the strongest of the team would help carry the burden of the weakest. Likewise, the tamest of the team would help the wildest of the team stay in line. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we are doing just this. We join together with Christ as part of His team, and He brings us along slowly, helping to tame us, helping to strengthen us, helping to mature us in Christ. So if you're here and you're watching this morning and you're like, there's so much I don't know, that's okay. There's so many questions that I have. You'll get them answered. The question is, will you come to Jesus and find your rest in Him? Will you take this yoke upon you? You see, Jesus is not here to be a taskmaster, a master, but through someone who has been there, someone who joins with us to share the same burden. So He says, take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. Take it. What will you do? This yoke, it pictures three things here for us. First is connection. Connection. To be with Jesus. Yokes are made not for one, they're made for two. And we were not meant to go through this life alone, apart from God. You see, when you realize how much you need God, and you humble yourself, He can use you. He can use just that. But many are trying to go through everything alone. They're trying to carry everything by themselves, and man, they're weighed down. They're weighed down. We tend to deal with difficulties one of three ways in our lives, especially stress. Some of us are carriers. We're like Santa Claus with a big sack on our back, and we carry it. The problem is the heavier the load, the more we get down. Some of us are barriers when it comes to issues, and we just bury it. We want to show everything's great on the outside, but inside we are dying. But eventually we explode. There are some who are what we call shedders. They're like the water off the back of a duck. It just goes right off. Some people are naturally like that. But he says, I want you to be with me. Think about that. The God of the universe says, come and be with me. My yoke is easy. Then he gives direction. He says, follow me. The idea of a yoke pictures the forward motion of two connected together. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and go your own way anymore. We follow him and his direction for our life. Think about that. When we have in mind that I'm going to come to Jesus, I'm going to get my fire insurance, so to speak, and then I'm going to go live and do my own thing. And maybe you're here this morning and you are doing your own thing. When someone asks, are you born again? Are you a Christian? You're like, yeah, but you're living like the devil. And you're living like the world. And you're trying to impress everybody else. You're only concerned about yourself. And you know your sin. And you are deep into it. And you're like, well, I'm a Christian. But the fact is, you're not following Christ. See, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means that you're a follower of Christ. You're a follower. And when you're living just having blatant sin that you're not even hiding anymore, we all sin. We all sin. There's no question about that. But does your sin bother you? And you see, when Christ saved you, he changed our want to. I want to please Christ. And so our sin, therefore, should bother us. And when it bothers us, we should get it right with God and get back on track. But if our sin never bothers us, the Bible says this. The Bible says that whom the Lord loves, he will chasten. What does that mean? It means he will discipline. In fact, the Bible says that if you claim to know Christ and you've never been disciplined or trained or disciplined like we think discipline, like a parent disciplining their child, and you've never been disciplined, you're just living and doing what you want, and you're like, man, God never seems to do anything to me. My friend, the Bible says you may be an illegitimate child of God. In other words, you're not one. He doesn't know you. Do you know him? Do you know him? Are you following? Well, he wants you to follow him. He wants you to follow him. And maybe you're here this morning and you realize, you know, I know Christ, but I'm not following him. Whom the Lord loves, he will chasten. Let me tell you, man, the lack of a better term, God, he can beat your tail sometimes. It's not because he's doing it out of hate or meanness. It's because a loving father will correct his children. He knows what is best for your life. We have many voices going on right now, don't we? I mean, we really do. And we're in a time where we're uncertain about what to believe sometimes, about what we read, the information we're getting. And it gives us some kind of unstable times. You know, we hear misinformation about the virus. We get all kinds of different information, what the media thinks we should know and what do we believe. And it's hard to trust the media. I want you to know this, you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. And there's a time in which man is messing with people right now. Is the amount of negativity and misinformation that's being thrown out there, it is messing people up inside. What's the answer? Follow Jesus. He is my firm foundation and whom I'm going to trust and rest in. Then he says, work with me. To be yoked together means that we cooperate with his work. He has a job for you. He has a job for you. It's to share the gospel. It's to be a blessing. It's to serve other people who are around you. You know, our mission statement here is to know God and to make him known. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're part of, to work with him. Rest is a result of obedience. We rest in the Lord. So come and take his yoke. He has something for you, because the struggle in which we are struggling with, it is real. And we know that. We know what we're struggling with. We know the issue. We know our sin. And it's so easy to try to depend upon ourselves and our own ways and let the stress just overcome us. But he says, notice the third thing, command. He says, learn from me. This is the third command, is to learn from him. Are you open to learn? Are you open to learn? Have you ever been around a know-it-all? You ever test a know-it-all? Like, you know, I'm going to talk about a random subject that they don't even really, I know they don't know about, and just see what they say. And they will rant and rave about what they know and how you should do it. And they, have you ever done this before? No. And shut up, right? That's what you want to say to them. But you don't want to be mean. But I found this, is that in life, is that everyone is ignorant about something. And any person you run into, regardless of how much education they've had, they have something in which you can learn from them. That there's something, an area in which they know, whether they're a novice or an expert, that they know that you don't know, that you can go away from them going, I learned something new today. There's always someone like that. And Jesus, as we come and we take up his yoke, the process of learning begins. Notice what he says, what he wants us to learn from him, all right? There's a lot that Jesus wants us to learn. But in these three commands, there's these two things he focuses in on. And right now especially, we need to focus on these two. Go back to the Matthew 11 there for me. He says, learn this from me, all right? So learn this from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. Gentleness and humbleness. See, gentleness, or some may say meekness, is strength under control. You see, religious people can be cold and harsh, but not Jesus. His gentleness draws us to him, and with our cares and concerns. And wouldn't it be great to have someone you can pour and just give your heart and your worries and all that you're concerned about too, that is gentle in heart? That's Jesus. Maybe you've been in church, or maybe you've had a bad experience in church where someone, religious people, weren't very gentle. I've been in church my entire life, and I will say this, some of the greatest group of people that are loving and gentle are Christians. And sometimes some of the most judgmental, harsh people are people who call themselves Christians. I've experienced, and probably many of you have as well, but when our eyes are on Jesus and I know his gentleness, it helps me deal with such people. And when we are following Jesus and we are yoked in with him, he's saying, as you follow me, as you work with me, you're going to become more like me. You're going to become more mature in Christ, more like him. Gentleness should be part of who you are as a believer. And if you're, I don't care if you've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you've been in church your entire life, if you are cold and harsh, you're not yoked up with Jesus. You have religion, you don't have Jesus. And that should be the attribute of every believer, of gentleness in our lives. 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us, give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you. I want you to know, sometimes we just need to hear basic things during difficult times. Jesus, he cares for you. Just think on that for a moment. Some of you are really going through it right now, and you're wondering, does God know? Jesus, He really does care for you. He cares for you, and He is gentle in heart. Then He says, I want you to learn also this from me. As you're working with me and as I'm guiding you through, I want you to learn humility, selfishness. See, again, religious people can be arrogant and rude toward the other people. And I always preach this, is that as Christians, we have the truth in one hand, God's word, and we have love in the other. And if we're going around just giving the truth without love, we're not doing it the way Jesus has called us to do it. And if we're always just loving and ignoring the truth and not speaking to sin and ignoring sin, and let me tell you, there are some churches and some families that you say you love Jesus, but you're ignoring the sin part, the truth of His word, and going, yeah, you know, we're just going to love Jesus and ignore everything else. That's hypocrisy. You need both. And part of that is humility of saying, Jesus, here I am. The truth is not an excuse to be arrogant and rude toward other people. Pride and self-centeredness is descriptive of the devil. The very things that turn people off from church are the very opposite of what Jesus is really like. Hurting, lost, weary people were drawn to Jesus because He cared for them and He met their needs. And I want you to know, He gives rest for the weary this morning. He gives rest for the stressed. So why are you carrying it? Give it up. Give it to Him. And so these are the commands that Jesus gives that I can get in line with. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. The choice is yours, though. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 tells us, so we must make every effort to enter that place of rest. Then no one will be lost by following the example of those who refuse to obey. Will you make the effort? Jesus is a remedy for stress. Remedy for stress is you have a choice right now. You can choose to trust God and follow His commands. And you can find joy during the pressures of life. Many of us are searching for happiness. And you may think, I just want to be happy. You see, nowhere in the Bible will you really find where God's concerned about your happiness, but He is concerned about your holiness. And this is what I found in following Christ. When I pursue holiness instead of happiness, this is what happens. When I pursue holiness, I find joy in the Lord. Happiness is always connected to my circumstances. You know, there's things that I definitely get happy about. I'm happy about certain sports returning, and then I'm happy about when I get a gift. There's things I'm not happy about. You see, but joy is not connected to my circumstances. Joy comes from the Lord. And it comes from obeying Him. And when I'm pursuing holiness and I'm letting God lead me and guide me to make me what He wants me to be, I'll find true joy. I love what Psalm says. Psalms 119 says this. It says, your justice is eternal and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. And your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live. I love that. I find joy in your commands. You want to find joy? You want to find joy? Jesus has given us three commands out of this passage, Matthew 11. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You're going to find joy when Jesus is your foundation. When you're learning from Him and you're gentle and humble in the way He's showing you and teaching you to be. You say, but preacher, there's definitely, I love Jesus, but there's pressure and stress right now in my life. And I can connect with this verse because it feels like it's bearing down on me. I want you to know something. During this time of stress and temptation to let stress overwhelm us, The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. God will never let us go through more stress than what we can bear when we trust in Him. As well, recognize this. Recognize God's providence over the details of your life. Recognize that God is in control. And when you realize He is in control, and you realize that even the details of your life, hand it over to Him and saying, God, I know these are the things in which You've given me to do, to control. But I know I am stressed about these things right here that I can't control, and it is bearing down on me. Trust in the Lord. Hand those things over to Him. That you can't do anything about it. There's no reason to worry and to stress over it if you can't do anything about it. Let go and let God do His work. Ask God. Ask God to help you. Ask God for wisdom to deal with these stressful situations. And thank God for the pressures and ask Him how you should deal with them. Have you done that? James, Jesus' half-brother, said, man, if we go to God and we ask God for wisdom, He will give it. Are you asking God for wisdom and direction? If you haven't, now is the time. So how are you coping with the stress in your life? How are you coping with it? There was a famous missionary named Hudson Taylor. He was a well-known missionary to China years and years ago. This is what he said. He said, and he endured a lot of pressures and issues in life. He really did. This is what he said, very profound, I believe. It doesn't matter really how great the pressure is. It only matters where the pressure lies. So that it never becomes between you and the Lord, then the greater the pressure, the more it presses you to God's breast. So, church, are you letting that stress get in the way between you and God? It's time to ask for wisdom. It's time to give it to Him. It's time to say, God, I'm struggling, but I'm going to find joy in Your commands. And I may not know how You're going to work everything out about my concerns and my worry and my stress, but I know that You're in control. And I know that You're my foundation. And so instead of worrying and being stressed out over what I can't control, I'm going to trust in You. Let's pray. Father, You give rest for the stressed. Some are stressed right now concerning their health. Some are stressed concerning children going back to school. Some are stressed about their job. Some are stressed because of their marriage. Some are stressed because of issues with their children. Some are stressed and they can't sleep. Some are stressed and it's wearing heavily upon them. But God, I pray that this morning that we see the remedy for stress, to find rest, is in You. I pray that if someone's here that doesn't know You as their Savior, they've never been born again, born again spiritually, I pray that they will come to faith this morning. If that's you, how can you do that? You can pray right where you're at. Pray inside yourself or out loud, I don't care. You can pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and that I deserve death and I deserve hell. But Jesus, I'm asking You to save me and to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking You to be my Lord and Savior. If you prayed and received Christ this morning, that's how we believe the Bible teaches about becoming born again, of repenting and of putting your faith in Christ. Please shoot us an email, or after the service, please let myself or Paul, know we'd love to talk with you. We'd love to rejoice with you. Maybe you're here and you want to get baptized. Are we baptizing? Absolutely. We will baptize. Just give us a week's notice and we will get it set up for you. Maybe you're here and you are stressed. You are stressed and you need prayer. It's okay. As Christians, we don't have to pretend like we have it all together and that we have everything under control, because there's times in which we just simply do not. So God, I pray for those who are stressed right now. As a just kind of showing your hand to the Lord and just raising it high in the air this morning, show it to the Lord and raise your hand. Say, there's some things I'm stressed about right now that I want to give to God. Just raise a hand high in the air. I want to pray for you. I see that hand, many hands. God sees your hand. Father, I pray for them. I lift them up to you in prayer. Have your hand upon them. Give them peace. May they find joy during the pressures of life. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.